Hi, everybody. Welcome to Domain Sherpin. Thank you for tuning into the podcast with the best domain name and digital asset content in the world. Today's episode is a Sherpa short titled No Strings Attached, where Drew and I are joined by Matt Overman of Identity Digital. On today's show, we talk about the recently released Identity Digital Investor Insight Report. We discuss their integration as the backend registry operator for .ai domains and the trends they're seeing there. And then we get into some of the details related to the new ICANN GTLD round. All that and more is coming up on today's show. And remember, if you're listening to the audio version of this podcast, you can also watch the video version at domainsherpa.com and on our YouTube channel at ds.tv. You can also listen to the shows on Apple and Spotify and other podcast platforms as well. So please make sure to hit the like button and the subscribe button where you can and help Domain Sherpa grow the pie. We also integrate our shows with skiv.com, which provides search functionality for the shows and transcripts as well. And now, shout out to our sponsors. First, we have Unstoppable Domains. Unstoppable is the ICANN accredited registrar, giving domainers powerful tools and the lowest pricing in the industry. Get $7.99.com back orders, expired auctions, and tech you can't get anywhere else like AI search, AI outbounding, and their new AI site builder. They're a one-stop shop for managing costs and boosting sales. Also, big shout out to DNX.com. DNX is the domain name intelligence platform featuring all-in-one search results from the top marketplaces, including GoDaddy, Cedo, and Atom. DNX is the most advanced way to find and acquire your domain name, so go to dnx.com today. And also, shout out to appraise.net. appraise.net gives you instant AI-powered domain appraisals, a retail price range, plus the reasoning behind it, strengths, weaknesses, best use case, and the likely buyer for every name. Whether you're buying, selling, or pricing your portfolio, know what your domains are really worth. Claim your first month special at appraise.net/domainsherpa. And also, big shout out to NameBio. Know what your domains are worth before you buy or sell. NameBio gives you searchable access to more than $3 billion in historical domain sales so you can find comps, spot trends, and make smarter decisions. If you buy or sell domains, namebio.com is where you check the comps. And last but not least, big shout out to our own business, Media Options, the number one domain brokerage in the world. Find out more at mediaoptions.com, where you can also sign up for our newsletter for the best domain opportunities available in the market every week, and also featuring key insights and other helpful information related to branding, naming, and domain investing. And finally, we have NamesCon 2026 taking place November 11th and 12th in Miami. NamesCon Global brings together domain investors, registrars, registries, and other digital entrepreneurs to explore the technologies and trends reshaping the online world. So get to namescon.com for more information and to register. Now, with all that, it's time to get into this episode of Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. What's up, Sherpa Network? Thank you for tuning in today. My name is Jonathan Tenenbaum, a.k.a. JT, a.k.a. J-On, a.k.a. Sherpa Winfrey, and I'm the host and producer of Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. Today's show is a Sherpa short, where we dive into a domain topic or a story for a bit. Today, we're pretty excited. We got our boy, Matt Overman from Identity Digital, on here to talk about a bunch of different things. So that's going to be the what we're going to get into. But let me go ahead first and do the AKAs and do the official introductions before we dive into the meat of the show. But over to my left, we got my boy Andrew Rosner, a.k.a. Morpheus, a.k.a. the Dirk Diggler of Digital Assets, a.k.a. Bob Lee Swagger, the Sniper, a.k.a. Drew got what I need, a.k.a. every Rosner has its thorn, a.k.a. never going to give Drew up, get Rickrolled, Greybeard, the domain pirate in a building. What up, man?
Yeah, all good. I just cut off the Greybeard, as a matter of fact. But it was going strong. It was the beard was strong. Just got back from a few days at the farmhouse, loving life there, even though it's hotter than hell. It's literally like 110 degrees. But life's good. Business is good. You know, I would say basically this week is kind of the end of the road in terms of like commercial activity, and then things are going to be pretty calm, I would say, generally speaking, for the next, you know, 6 weeks or so. But hopefully, you know, there'll be a nice slow trickle of deals, hopefully not too much, hopefully not too little, and you know, that's it. Summer mode, right, man. This is what we live for.
That's it, man.
I envision you guys doing your media options offsites at that farmhouse. That place looks like magic.
Yeah, probably we will. Probably we'll do that. We generally do it in Miami every year. But we might have to do a second one.
Or just next year we'll do it in Portugal, yeah. Man. You know, we've done Portugal before. You know, we've done Lisbon.
Yeah, we've done Portugal before.
You know, but we got to go out to Barrocal, you know what I'm saying? And vibe out. Whenever you get whenever the anvil carts are running around, though, you know what
I
mean?
It.
I can't. I got to. I only travel, like, on resort, I only travel by anvil. So, you know, we've got.
Do you guys, I feel like, I don't know, because I'm associated, it somehow, like, is inundating my feeds. But I'm like blown away with how much press we're getting with Amble. It's crazy. It's like all I see in my feeds is like press about Amble, like from every direction. Matt, do you know what Amble is?
No, I don't.
So I'm just an investor. I'm not one of the founders, but the founders are you know, a few of my closest friends here in Lisbon. And Julian Honig, Austrian guy who worked for Apple for, I think, 20 years, also worked for Audi. He designed, I think, the Lamborghini Gallardo. He designed, I don't remember which Audi. And then he went over to Apple. I think he's responsible for the Apple Watch. I think he's responsible for the headphones and some other things. Amazing designer. Like, really just absolutely stud of a designer and just great guy. My friend Antonio, who actually is the owner of Barrocal, where I've built this house, he's the owner of the hotel component. And they teamed up with some other guys. We have Adrian, who is the founder of Cowboy Bikes, is the CEO now of Amble. And they designed and have now built this amazing electric vehicle startup. And we actually have, fully functional prototypes the car is now in production. And we expect the first deliveries next year, hopefully early next year. And it's like an open air. So version one is kind of competing with a golf cart, but it's not for golf. It's for hospitality. Yeah. It's for high-end hospitality, like, you know, five-star resorts and hotels that are currently using golf carts. These golf carts are all pieces of crap. They are not really fit for purpose, and they're just atrociously ugly. And so these are beautifully designed open-air carts. You go to driveamble.com. I am embarrassed that I've not yet been able to acquire amble.com, but we will get there. But driveamble.com, you can check it out. It's very cool. You can even pre-order for $100. And it is, it's really cool. I had it at my house 2 weeks ago, and it's just so cool. It's so beautiful. It's just a very nice design. It's like you see it and you're like, oh yeah, why didn't that exist? You know, it's one of those things you kind of like, yeah, we've been like putting a square, a round peg into a square hole, or other way around, you know, with golf carts in like high end hospitality. And when you see this, you're like, oh yeah, that is what I want to drive around in. You know, if I'm paying, you know, whatever, $1,500 a night or $5,000 a night at these, you know, amazing resorts, and you're driving around in these piece of crap golf carts, and it's like, yeah, this is, you know, this is a vehicle that makes a statement. And it's just, it's so beautiful, and it's so much fun to drive.
I love it.
So we just launched that. It just launched 2 weeks ago, and it's been really fun to see. But I like, obviously I'm biased, but like, legit, I don't remember the last product launch I've seen that got this much press. Like, it's just blowing up everywhere.
So yeah, I think you have an expert in the golf cart market, right? JT, that was your primary mode of transportation for.
Dude, there was years? I mean, during COVID, I sold my car and drove a golf cart for like a year. That was really my main car, because, you know, with the neighborhood we lived in, you could get everywhere. You get to the grocery store, like, you know, everywhere by golf cart. And so we had one car and a golf cart, and That was my jam. You know what I'm saying? And I wish I hadn't ambled, because I'll tell you, like, there were definitely things about my golf cart, which I liked, you know, it was my whip, you know what I mean? That was my ride, but I would have much rather had been pushing an amble. So, let's go.
It looked like they can maybe go off road a little bit, or.
Yeah. They can go there. I mean, they're made to be able to drive through the sand.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're pretty sick.
All right.
No. Anyway, that's
300 days a year here. I might be in the market for it, but I got to
want. I mean, actually, for Bainbridge, this thing is like made. Well, I guess I don't know about the probably only drive 6 months a year because of the weather, but
yeah, six is pushing it.
Yeah, maybe four, but still, it might be worth it for 4 months. It's you could whip this thing around Bainbridge and it would be talk of the town.
Yep.
So,
all right. Well, congrats. It's awesome.
Yeah, so well, let's keep it moving because, you know, we're not even done with the AKA. So there's only three of us. So there's, you know, so last but not least, the one and only Matt Overman, AKA Move Overman, AKA It's Not Overman Till We Say It's Overman. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? AKA Matt Somewhere Overman, the Rainbow, AKA Matt Vanderjack, AKA the Idiot Kicker, AKA Matt McAfee. I don't know if folks know that you were a kicker. For the football team in college, that was your jam, you know. Which I feel like we mentioned it on the show when you're on here, but
second part was right. I was a punter. I couldn't
even better. Couldn't, you know what I'm saying?
I couldn't kick to save my life.
Really?
Yeah. It translates for some people. For me, and I was a soccer player.
Yeah.
Race kicking. I think it was also like I was unwilling to commit to kicking in general. I was like, no, I'm a wide receiver, and they're like, you can't get off the line fast enough. Lift weights and be a tight end or commit to being a punter. And it's like, I'm not doing either of those. I'm out.
Matt McAfee, baby, the punter.
I have dreamed about, I could have my Rolex kicking a few balls on Sunday. Yeah, I was decent.
If you're going to play in the NFL, that's the position to play.
Oh, dude. I mean, you just go out there, you know, you barely get hit. You just,
if your head intact, yeah.
The veteran minimum is a lot of money. I mean, and you stick around long enough in the league, you get the pension, you know, the whole thing. Like, it's not a bad deal, man. You know, have a great network, you know, pretty cool stories to tell. Like, I think it's all up. Maybe the window's not completely closed. You know what I'm saying? Like,
those guys, I don't know about the market for a 46-year-old punter with 1 year of Division III. Kicking his spirit. Domains have been good to me. I think
you made the right choice.
There you go. So, all right. Well, look, that's a good segue. So, I guess, you know, it's funny. I didn't look up your LinkedIn in a minute. Are you still the chief revenue officer? Is that still the official title at Identity Digital, you know, leading all the sales efforts and, you know, some of the executive strategy there. And, so let's slide right into it. So talk to us. What have you been up to? What's been going on in your world as far as like, you know, from a work travel standpoint? You've been on the road a lot. Like, what's going on?
Not on the road a ton the last month. I didn't go to ICANN in Seville. I'm going to a partner event coming up here, but I won't do a lot of work travel, some internal. I won't do a lot till this fall. I'll go to NamesCon. Probably not going to do ICANN in Bali. Look at some other ones and then ramp it again next year. Definitely will come.
Obviously,
you.
You'll be in Lisbon next year.
Obviously, yeah. I think that'll be really well attended. I'll go to ICA in Vegas. I've not made it to every one of those.
Yeah, let's go.
I was there 2 years ago. I need to get back.
This year was great.
The last conversation. So I can't be one of the losers not supporting ICA. We're a sponsor.
You're a sponsor. That's it. But you got to show up.
I got to show up. No question.
And they are doing a great job. And Vegas was great. I wasn't in New York, but I heard that was great. And, you know, it's just, you know, it's all good. So, all right, well, cool. Let's talk some Identity Digital stuff. Cause, you know, you guys dropped this Digital Investor Insights report, for the folks who haven't seen it, you know, you got to go to the, you know, we'll have links all in the show notes and all that good stuff. But, I thought this was really, really cool, you know, and so, you know, it was one of the things that, you know, was kind of like, hey, let's, you know, let's talk about it. And were you on Domain Name Wire discussing it with Alamin or no? Did you guys do that?
No, I was on there and I'm due to go on again, but no, I've not discussed this.
Well, this is an exclusive then for our listeners.
Here we go.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, no,
exclusive drop.
I think it's, I thought it was really interesting, and some of the stuff wasn't necessarily intuitive. I mean, I've been in this industry a while, as have you guys. And our chief marketing officer, Rachel Sterling, who you guys might know, has come in and taken, I would say, a little bit more of a, I mean, we've always been very data driven, but more of a research based approach to some of the prospective initiatives and customer segments, and really trying to understand, get in the mind of not only our core customers, which as a wholesaler, that's B2B, that's the registrars, all distribution, but some of the end users and domain investors are a big part of that. And so she and her team are who really drove this. And yeah, it's easy for some of us that have been doing it for 20 years, you know, to say we kind of understand the mind of the investor. And I think she appreciates that, but is also like, I want more than your vibes.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's go meet them where they are. And so this was survey. It was quant and qualitative. We interviewed a bunch of people. Or rather their research agency did, and a survey for a lot as well, put out a survey to a lot, and yeah, there's some interesting findings. Skewed yeah, a little so, bit younger than I was expecting.
A little bit what?
A little bit younger. Mm. Like most of the participants were millennials. Most were part-time investors buying less domains. I would have assumed the average portfolio size was bigger. Most were kind of seem to be just doing this part-time. I think
that was the part that surprised me the most as well. I think it was like, what was the number? The average number was like 40 domains or less.
I think 100. I think it was 100 is what they said. The average or two-thirds said that they had less than 100 domains. Mm-hmm. Around two-thirds were not full-time investors.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was interesting. I think one of the things that was not surprising, but was really validated through, I think, a lot of the interviews is sort of the asymmetric net nature of our business, and that there's, despite all sorts of efforts to provide more data and all the tools and the research, and I think being pretty welcoming to new investors, there's still an advantage for people that really have the data, have all the private, know the transactions. You guys are close to all this stuff, and only a fraction of it gets published. Know the people, know the buyers, know the sellers. It's not the most efficient market. So that was certainly validated by a lot of the people that spoke. And again, a lot of strides on appraisals and different marketplaces. I mean, it's night and day better than it was when we all got into the business, but it's not like investing in stocks, obviously.
Yeah, no. And so obviously you guys as a registry, you know, and we talk a lot about .com and we talk .ais and all this kind of stuff. And you know, we can get into a few of these other extensions where we've had success or seen success. But I guess was the approach, it was pretty much all encompassing, right? I mean, any domain investors? I mean, was it,
yeah,
did you guys focus on new TLDs a little bit with this, with putting the data together?
Yeah. I think there were some questions that were to get at that, and we have a perspective. I don't think it was delivered. And the questions that I was familiar with were not leading the witness, so to speak. But I mean, this was put forth by a GTLD registry. A lot of the folks we talked to are, you know, more natively .com investors, though. It's not like we just went and cherry picked the biggest, most successful investors in our TLDs, or the ones that we're aware of, at least, and only spoke to them. We spoke to a number of folks that are a little bit more com-centric that you guys know.
Sure. Yeah.
Now, once you guys build up a little bit more of a name in the industry, a little bit more of a brand, we can probably get you guys on the next one.
Appreciate no that.
We're going to try. We're going to keep working.
I wake up every morning and I write that on the, you know, on the
I'm sure.
And it's my aspiration.
Your name had to have been on the list. I actually don't know if, I mean, I say that tongue in cheek, but for all I know, you were surveyed. I'm not sure. I was not.
Nobody prepared. Asked me.
Oh, man. Well, that's a miss.
We'll get look, I'm arguably one of your best investors. I, at least, let's say in terms of outcomes.
Yeah.
I mean, I have like, if you look at sell-through rate from me buying from you and then me selling to an end user, and then you look at, actual financial outcomes, I mean, I have to be in the, you know, 98th percentile.
Yeah. We've had some really big sales on our end over the years, but we don't maximize the value on, or even necessarily try to. I mean, it's, I think the, one of the things, just this whole effort to sort of lean in and get to know, you know, more lean into the research side of it and engage more with investors. I don't think if you go back to when Rightside and Donuts were launching 15 years ago, that wasn't, we probably underestimated the impact and made some business choices that weren't as quite as investor friendly. And so I think there's a conscious effort to engage more now and to think about that as we're getting to the next round and launching more TLDs. And as it comes, you know, as it relates to actually brokering names, you know, we have a team that brokers are some of our reserve names, but it's not always top dollar, you know, getting names to successful investors who can flip them and do a much better job than we would have done.
But are those brokers focused on getting those names into investor hands or into end users?
Both and okay. Handling inbound leads. But again, it's not, there's value in everyone, not just us making money. And so, you know, we have a lot of names that we sell at premium prices and don't sell them at those higher, what we call platinum is our, you know, our higher end reserve names.
So one of the things I've been wondering about, and I'm not trying to derail the conversation, but like I was thinking about this just the other day, you know, markets have seemingly opened up. You've got a whole string of successful IPOs and more to come. Markets are absorbing this shit much better than I expected. Why wouldn't you guys go public? That seems like, especially like, it seems like you guys should have already done it probably in the spring, but you guys are a perfect company to go public. And it seems like great timing. And I would think that, you know, leading up to this next round, I don't think you guys are cash strapped by any stretch, but leading up to this next round, it would seem like a perfect opportunity, both from the, to get, you know, super capitalized, but also, you know, on this like promise of the opportunity of this next round, you know, from all sorts of angles, from, you know, the registry operations, from back-end operations, from, you know, resale, you know, whatever. There's like a whole host of new revenue opportunities. Seems like this, like, I literally like can't think of a company that would be like better positioned to go public. Is there a reason you guys stay private?
We, maybe I'll have our CFO join us the next time I'm on.
I didn't know if there's.
I don't want to derail this conversation, but I'm going to
go. I'll give my
direction like, outside of Matt's purview.
I'll give my like two cents. I mean, we are well capitalized. We have investors that like or love our business that want to continue to own it, and you know, I don't know what the future holds. I don't think it's an unreasonable thought that could be down the road, but it's not something we need right now. Personally speaking, I have worked for public companies in the past in the industry. You know, Rightside was a small public company when we spun out at Demand Media. I think there's a lot to be said for working for a well-capitalized, very successful private company and not
no
having
question some about it.
Actions. Yeah. But yeah, at a certain point, most, not all, most companies make that jump for various reasons. And so,
I don't think
we'd slam the door on it, but yeah, that's not something we're focused on right now. We're focused on growth. And
yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I sort of share that perspective. Like I would not be in a rush to take a company public. If you've got a company, if you've got a business that you really love the business, you believe in the business, you built it, it's a profitable business, it's a growing business.
Yep.
Why put yourself, you know, under those, you know, constraints and pressure of public markets that may make you change what you're doing.
Yeah. Well, and I think we've all seen that at various points. And, you know, when you go from public to private or vice versa, you know, things change, right? So if it ain't broke, don't fix it, right?
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, you're really just chasing something else, just trying to find maybe like...
It's sad, though. The best businesses are, you know, stay private, right? It's like, if you think about it, just from a high-level perspective, you just look at Identity Digital, it's like, you know... super strong recurring income that's like, you know, baked in, right? And
I think this is all stemming from Drew wanting to invest, basically, I think is what's happening.
I just
want a piece of the pie, bro. Yeah. That's all that's what I'm saying. It's like,
next time you're stateside, I think I might need to make an introduction.
Yeah.
There we go. What
other companies? I mean, I don't disagree with you. Obviously, I've been here for a long time. I'm, very bullish on our business. But what other private companies, not in our industry, but just in general, like what's a dream company that you look at and you're like, when is that company going to go public? I want a piece of it. Do any others come to mind?
Clearly, yeah, I think there's something quickly in my mind. There was one I was thinking about the other day, and I'm blanking on what it was.
We can come back to that.
Yeah, I'll think about it.
But I think that obviously there's probably tons and tons. So that's that in itself is an interesting conversation topic and sort of, you know, sort of thought exercise. But let's get back to the, because you literally said, hey, I don't mean to derail us, and then we've completely went off.
And then I derailed us. Sorry,
because we were talking about the investor report. What I thought was interesting too, like you clearly captured though, like some real like people with domain portfolios that are really in the space that are, you know, really domaining, because, you know, just the fact that you've got, you know, 18-20% of the people that were interviewed actually sell more than 50 domains every year, right? Which is a lot, I think.
No, it's a fair amount, yeah.
You know, and that really starts to push outside of the hobbyists and things. And you know, and it's like, okay, 66 purchase less than 100 domains a year. It was almost more of what the other side of the data that I actually thought was pretty interesting, just showing that, you know, you guys really did connect with a lot of big, you know, portfolio holders, because, you know, almost, you know, 35% actually buy more than 100 domains a year. And 100 yeah. domains is a decent amount of domains. And you know, so I thought that was all pretty cool. And then obviously you're right, like, you know, kind of sort of inferred this a little bit where, you know, there is a little bit of the registry spin on this because that's who you guys are. So obviously that's what really kind of matters to you guys. And, you know, the thought about how, you know, one of the pieces where it was like, you know, that registries that invest or advertise or market, you know, they're the strings, you know, are more attractive from an investment standpoint, which, you know, makes sense. But I thought those were interesting kind of nuggets and stuff when you're looking to figure out like where, as you move away from, you know, we're obviously very .com centric in what we do, but, you know, we've also had a lot of success with plenty of non-com domains. I mean, .orgs, obviously .ai domains, which yep. we can kind of segue into. But then, you know, Drew alluded to some of the domains we've bought from you, right? That we've, you know, pivoted and sold for, you know, and done very well. So it's like, you know, that's, you know, and meaning those were not .com domains. So, I thought this was really cool. Are you guys going to do this again? Is this going to become sort of an annual thing? Are you, you know, what's the plan there?
I don't know if it's necessarily annual or it'll take the same shape, but I think continuing to invest in sharing data that we uniquely have, and conducting research to understand like the products we're building, the programs we want to run to make sure it actually fits with demand. And we're not just doing it again, sort of in a vacuum. That's not going to change. That we'll keep doing that. And recognizing that people were sort of starved for data. I mean, there's a lot of really interesting news that comes out in the industry. And then there's sometimes like we all will be flipping through domaining and there's things that are, you know, there's tons of information that's shared. And, I think like what is newsworthy, if you can share some interesting data that you have, sales data or otherwise, that's always going to be interesting. I mean, part of the key to investing is being able to have that and build it into, you know, into your respective algorithms on how you select names, how you price names. So, my hope is that we can share more and more because we don't have all of it, but we're at a unique position.
Yeah. I mean, I think, the perspective I had when this launched and I started getting picked up by the various, you know, media, both within the industry as well as out, I thought it was interesting because I feel like some of the headlines were taking an angle of like almost introducing domain names as this new asset class and, hey, well, you know, wake up, this is actually an investable asset class. And, you know, that's been my mantra for the last decade plus. It's why I bought this show. It's why I do this show week in and week out for, you know, basically no pay. I think domain names are one of the most ignored and misunderstood asset classes in the world. I think they have the opportunity to be the next real estate type asset class. I think that real estate, residential in particular, and commercial as well, will decline because of, you know, soaring insurance rates and soaring municipal tax regimes. And I think it's very troublesome for real estate, particularly residential real estate, to be an investable asset class. I think it's a very silly thing for a society to push residential real estate as an investable asset class, because, you know, it's literally a place that people need to live. And if people are spending 40 to 60% of their disposable income, which is currently statistic in the United States, on putting a roof over their head, that's a problem. That's an economic problem. That's like a societal problem, but also an economic problem. It's, you know, who has the money to go buy all these consumables if they're struggling to put a roof over their head, right? And so I think that we made a very, I understand the principles of why the American dream, you know, this whole idea was created and basically making residential real estate, you know, the foundation of that, and then the introduction of mortgages, and then going from a 10-year to a 15-year to a 20-year to a 30-year mortgage. Now they want to talk about, I don't even know, a 50 or 100-year mortgage, which is, you know, insanity. And driving up real estate values is a very bad thing for society. It feels good because people, oh, look, my house is worth so much money. But that's where America's savings is like captured. And now you've got these soaring insurance rates, soaring municipal taxes. And I think that we are very close to hitting the tipping point where residential real estate quickly goes from, obviously not everything, and probably not trophy properties, and probably not the very, you know, top 5-10% of the market, but that's, you know, nobody cares about that. The rest of America, it is a huge problem. And I think we're very close to it going from a asset to a liability. And the moment that that happens, we're going to see it, you know, 20, 30, maybe even 40%, you know, rip downwards in property values. It doesn't happen overnight, but it'll happen quickly. You know, once rents don't exceed your tax and interest, you know, insurance liability. So I think that what we've been saying in the domain industry is that domain names are digital real estate. We've been saying that for 20, 25 years. I don't even know who the first person to have said that was. That would be an interesting fun fact for us to know, actually. Who was the first person to say that? We need a Jamie, like from, you know, Joe Rogan. Hey, Jamie, look it up.
If it was even available. That data,
small industry. But somebody's got to know who said that first. Hit us in the comments. Hit us on X if you know who said that first.
You can rule out three of us. It was not one of us.
The thing that's missing is exactly what you said. The market is missing data, and it's very hard to grow the pie without data, without knowing, you know, who's buying, are they having success, what kind of ratios, what kind of, you know, turnover, what kind of holding periods. These are all really important data points that are essential to building a healthy market.
Yep. And I think
go ahead. I was just going to say, from like a registry perspective, I mean, sharing data and whatever we can to sort of enable that. But we are also focused on how can we look at other components of the market, illustrate that people are actually building and using these domains. What are other, it's not just related to investors, but we've put out data that our marketing team's put out data on, you know, Y Combinator startup usage. And back, you know, a few years ago, we looked at some funded companies in PitchBook and like the growth of that over time on alternative TLDs. That's good. I mean, it's not a com versus whatever. That's just more and more companies are investing and buying domain names, buying .ai names, buying other names and building. And if we can share that there's an opportunity in certain TLDs are are rising up based on startups or funded companies' willingness to use them, that's another signal. It's like there's an opportunity in that particular segment of the market that you might not otherwise know. And so it's not, I mean, the pure domain investing data is interesting, but there's all sorts of other signals, I guess, as well.
Well, no, you need both, right? I mean, like, let's say you're a commodity trader, okay?
Yeah.
So there's this huge market that is commodity trading, right? You've got the CME in Chicago, and, you know, there are people trading corn, people trading soybeans, people trading pork bellies, people trading, you know, veggie oil, you name it, there's people trading it, right? And so that's a market in and of itself, but that market wouldn't exist if there wasn't a terminal market, which is the end user, right? That oil needs to be sold into the market to be used to produce whatever, right? The pork bellies need to end up on somebody's plate. Otherwise, there's nobody trading them in the mercantile exchange. Eel, orange juice, right, is another commodity that people trade orange juice. And it's literally a tradable commodity. And if people aren't drinking orange juice, then I can promise you there's nobody trading amongst themselves, you know, orange juice futures. So you need both. You need that terminal market, that end user market, and the data that applies to that. How much of these things are leaving this, you know, sort of, you know, trading market, the domain investment market? How many are entering that market? How are they being traded? And then how many leave that market and end up, you know, with an end user, right? Both sides are super essential, and data supporting both of those markets is, you know, you can't really look at data of just one market without the other. You need both.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. And I think that's why it resonated, I think, when you guys put the report out, that it was obviously, you know, pretty well done and, you know, professional and, you know, and interesting. So I think that's why people gravitate.
You guys, escrow.com, GoDaddy. Really, those are, you know, Namecheap also now is really, you know, they've really got a pretty large share of the pie. So, you know, maybe I would love to see them start putting out more data as well. But
the Radix premium data that they share, I think, is always interesting. I mean, I think just the more that any registrar is able to, and, you know, you have to be careful on what you're allowed to and based on your customers, right? But whatever you can, it's good for the market.
Yep. Yeah,
100%. All right. So let's talk a little bit. Let's segue then.
Don't share any data. That's
well, you know. Except that we share all the time on the show. You know what I mean? Like we share.
But we give a platform to those that do. You know,
and we share so much on the show. You know, it's funny. I saw a tweet exchange between on X between Strip Mall Guy and Nikita that literally today, where they mentioned how they had met somewhere and, you know, had a conversation about X, and, you know, it was really neat, and, you know, how it was like kind of like this really cool conversation and, you know, unique. And, the, you know, I think it was the Strip Mall dude was like, you know, when you share, you know, it comes back to you like a thousandfold, you know, when you're just sort of sharing for the sake of sharing and just trying to be somewhat altruistic and like just, you know, like just, you know, contributing, right, to the discourse or the whatever. It's like, you know, and that's kind of what this, that's what Sherpa is. That's what some of this, you know, sharing some of the data. And it's like, look, it was really well received and shared and publicized. So it's like, that can't be bad for business as well, right, from a marketing standpoint. So I think it all comes back. And, you know, we talk about it on Sherpa all the time. Like, we probably put ourselves at a bit of a competitive disadvantage at times by sharing some of what we do and some of what the guys do on NameJet and talk about the names they like that are coming up for auction. I mean, we're immediately putting more competition into auctions that we're going to be participating in, right? It's like, you know, and in doing so, you know, it's kind of interesting, because you would think, all right, well, that might not actually be the smartest, you know, approach, but, you know, it's all part of kind of growing the pie, like we talk about a lot, right? And, you know, rising tide lifting all boats. So no, good stuff. And all right, so let's segue a little bit. So you guys now are the back end registry for .ai domains.
We talked about .ai. I had a question I wanted to ask.
Oh, go ahead.
No, go.
Well, I was just going to segue.
You do a little segue. It's okay.
I was going to talk about a little bit about .ai, and we talk about .ai domains on the show all the time. Just wanted to kind of get your feedback there, like how that has been. I think you guys have had success with that. I think that it's been good for the domain, that namespace in particular, right? Helping to better, you know, further legitimize it and tighten things up over there. Just anything you can share as far as how that's been going, and you know, I mean, we can get into some stuff around trends. I don't know what info you've got available or can share with us, but you know, I think that's also interesting. So,
yeah, I mean, it continues to perform really well. We've managed it for, I think, about a year and a half now. The relationship with the government's great. I think in that time, the renewal base is around doubled. Creates are up, new registrations are up around 50% year over year. I think some of the data that we've shared, we've basically doubled the size of the distribution channel. I think over 100, maybe over 150 new partners, new registrar connections. So, I mean, it continues to be.
How many domains under management does AI have?
I don't think we've shared beyond that it crossed the million mark.
I mean, that's public information, isn't it? Isn't there a zone file, public zone file, or no?
It's hard to triangulate. I mean, people do a reasonable job, but it's not public for ccTLDs the same way.
Yeah, it's the new G's that have that site there.
So, but I think published again, above a million.
Yep.
But in that order of magnitude of
the billboard, there's a billboard as you exit the airport in Anguilla that says, you know, home of .ai over a million domains. So
Anguilla.com right here, baby. Home of Anguilla.com right here.
They're pretty anchored in .ai, but I still need to run that one down for you.
Yeah. So I have to say that it's amazing to me. You know, all three of us have been in the domain industry for a very long time, and you know, people say, you know, oh, what do you do? And you're like, I do this online thing. And they're like, oh, what do you do? And you're like, well, domain names. They're like, oh, are you GoDaddy? And so that was basically the conversation for the last 20 years. Yep. And suddenly, as soon as I talk about domain names, literally, I'm not joking. I think it's 80% of the people that I speak with, and I mentioned I'm in the domain business. They go, oh, I keep hearing about .ai. And so .ai is the hottest girl at the prom. Everybody wants to dance. Everybody wants to talk to her. So I have to hand it to you guys. I mean, you guys grabbed the tiger by the tail, and it's ripping. It's ripping.
I agree. I see it in the data. I mean, to see how impactful it's been for that country too. We did a small partner event down there and brought some of our partners to meet the folks running it, and for them, for our industry to see like the what it's actually doing. I mean, it's a meaningful part of the GDP.
I think that was public. I saw it in a newspaper. I don't remember what the number was, but I was like, am I crazy? Yeah. Or was it like 40% of the island's GDP?
Yeah. It's over 40%.
That's crazy.
I mean, they're doing incredible things for education from a tax standpoint, infrastructure. It's enabling them to actually be quite purposeful in terms of how they embrace tourism. You know, they're not an island that has the mega cruise ships that are sitting right there. They can be allowed them to preserve a lot of what like makes it great. If you haven't spent any time there, highly recommend. I think it's a magical spot.
Yeah, I've only heard amazing things that it's, you know, really like kind of the outlier luxury, you know, barefoot luxury travel destination in the Caribbean.
It balances that with like this incredible, I mean, the people there are amazing. And this like, I don't know, the energy from the locals. It's, I was there randomly over 20 years ago, totally unrelated to domain name. Aunt and uncle rented a place down there, and it hasn't changed a lot. I mean, they've invested obviously in the infrastructure, but there's not many places you can go where it's like, okay, this feels like the same place I was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Bainbridge Island, where I live, is nothing like it was 20 years ago. I mean, there's a lot more change. So it's interesting. Yeah, highly recommend.
Hmm. Shout out Anguilla.
Yeah, that's super, super cool.
Yeah, I guess to answer or to agree with the point you were making, that's my lead in many conversations now. People are interested in that. You're in the same industry, like GoDaddy. It's like, well, we wholesale, but you've heard of .ai. And then you start talking about the whole story of it's this country, you know, more or less hit the lotto in terms of their country code. And that's the stuff that grabs people's attention.
Yeah.
Everyone still knows GoDaddy, obviously, and some of the other big players in our space. But it's just an incredible feel good story.
For sure. It's amazing. Yep. I mean, it's difficult. You know, look, there's very few places that you can point to in the world or, you know, in the news or in any, let's say, economic or political sense where it's like domain name. You know, once in a while you get some story where a domain name is like, you know, critical, you know, in whatever aspect. But like to see domain names supporting 40% plus of the GDP of a country is like, you know, that's amazing. That's crazy. That's a wild statistic.
Yep.
Super cool.
So, and the question I actually wanted to ask you, what do you think is like, so, you know, I said roughly, you know, we're talking somewhere over a million domains under management and growing. What do you think is like terminal value of, you know, not value, terminal number of domains, like, let's say 5 years out. I think it's impossible to think more than 5 years out in any regard. Forget about domains. But what do you think? Like, obviously AI isn't going anywhere between now and the next 5 years. You know, I've had this argument, you know, and it's not the poo-poo.ai. I like .ai as much as the next guy. I think it's an amazing story. I think it's an amazing domain extension. It's obviously super timely and it's super useful from a commercial perspective. But I've felt that domain investors were overpaying for .ais. And I think that that is actually hurting the end user market. We're feeling that. I mean, I literally just before this call, just responded to an email. We have a client, you know, it's like a super good business. It's a medium-sized business. They're trying to grow. They're growing really well. It's like a successful company. And they're like, they just want to buy this .ai domain. And they're like, and the guy's like, you know, wants $1.2 million for this.
Yeah.
It's literally like a random three letter that was hand registered, you know, 2 years ago. And it's like, what are you talking about? And so, you know, there is to some degree a hindrance to the end user because the domain investor market has kind of gone buck wild with it. And the market has supported them for better or worse. And so it's, you know, it's sort of a catch 22. But does that momentum continue? Like, do you think in 5 years we get to 3 million, 5 million? Do you think, like, where do you think .ai can go? Just, you know,
I mean, it's a great question. It's something that we think about that the government is trying to figure out what to make sense of. I mean, I think there's a few factors. What happens with AI and sort of the tailwinds there, and the tailwinds are still really strong. I mean, whether it's, I mean, some softness with the chip makers, you know, the hyperscale,
all the stuff that's sort of getting messy right now, potentially. Even if AI, you know, even if like from a CapEx standpoint, AI takes a major hit. I can't really imagine that has any impact on domains. You know what I mean? Like because your story isn't that. Your story isn't the NVIDIAs of the world. It's not even the LLMs of the world. Your story, in fact, most of the LLMs aren't even on. I think like XAI is. Oh no, ZAI in China is the dominant player.
Yeah, I just mean though as like a macro factor. If there's a little bit of the AI enthusiasm, whether that's domain investors pull back a little bit, like that's one. I don't see it going away, but is it going to stay at the same trajectory?
Yeah,
I don't know. I mean, what we see right now in terms of building, like the rapid building, the launch of, I mean, you can build anything over a weekend using Claude Code, all the vibe coding platforms. I mean, I am not very technical, and the stuff that you can build and launch, and
pretty wild. Mean,
platforms that we've seen, like building has literally never been easier, and people build and they can discard and they can start again and build. And that's actually driving a lot of registration. I don't see that changing, but like maybe the dynamic could shift a little bit, but that's a huge tailwind right now. So that's good for domains in general, all domains, any tech, especially tech domains, but it's really good for .ai. I think what's hard to understand is like .ai is expensive, not just the aftermarket, but the primary registrations, right? It's a 2-year minimum. It's not discounted. It's 106, you know, it's an expensive over $100 wholesale for a 2-year registration. Like it's a pricey domain. And does that, in terms of if you're trying to get to, and by the way, I mean, there's still an incredible amount of demand for it. So I don't think it's overpriced, but like, does that, if it was priced a lot lower, if it was priced similar to .com, how many domains would we be talking about? It would be orders of magnitude higher. Yep. And so I think it's hard to understand even some of the decisions that will be made in that regard. I mean, there's folks in the industry that would prefer it to be a 1-year registration. There's no plans to do that. That is a material impact if that were to be made. But if that change was made, it could be different. So there's a lot of other factors that are, I think, at play. So it's hard to, I know, I recognize I'm not answering your question, but I think that domains under management are continue to grow. They're going to continue to grow, rather. And I don't know what the ceiling is. I mean, I don't think we're anywhere near it right now.
Have you guys made any public statements about what annual growth looks like? I mean, you said you doubled distribution.
Double base. I think the one statement is we're up about 50% year over year in terms of new registrations.
Wow.
And I think that's the extent of what we've shared. I think there's plans to share some more data.
Okay. But that's
it continues. It continues to go well. It's exciting.
I would love to see statistics because, you know, in terms of utility statistics, meaning like, okay, let's just say roughly you got 1 million domains under management and, you know, I don't know what the percentage is that's owned by domain investors. I obviously you can't get an exact number, but probably approximate. You know, I don't know if it's 30%, 60%, 80%, but I bet it's a lower number than almost any other TLD.
Yeah, it's there's high utilization, there's high renewal rates on a percentage basis. Like it's a healthy, there's essentially no abuse because of its price point.
Yeah, you know, it doesn't make sense for a spammer.
It's a healthy, yeah, it's cost prohibitive. It's a healthy, it's a really healthy namespace. So, yeah, it's been built the right way in that regard. And there continues to be demand. I mean, I think anyone within AI wants to put that stamp. That's an AI company. That's one thing I do think about, like over time, does it get so synonymous that AI is embedded in everything that we're doing that you no longer want that stamp of approval? I know you guys have talked about that before.
Yeah, that's always been my argument is, and I think that's really a question of time frame, right? So I think that ultimately at some point it becomes redundant because AI is embedded in everything and the let's say the novelty of the speed of innovation, the content news cycles of you know new LLMs being launched, new abilities, you know, right now there's so much, I don't even want to say hype because it's not hype. It's real news. It's real innovation happening. But, you know, at some point I feel like it probably does get, you know, almost, I don't know. Redundant is not exactly the right word, but it probably implies what I mean. But I don't know. I don't, you know, I said 2 years ago, I thought that was, you know, a year away or, you know, and I think at this point, I honestly wouldn't even venture to say when that time frame is. And I think it's probably longer than we expect.
Yeah. I don't think that's happening anytime soon. And the halo effect, again, to all things sort of tech is evident. We see it in our data, other coding related soft like .codes.software have grown like the, you know, and we're seeing Google registry .app and .dev have done really well.
Yeah.
The platforms, the AI platforms that are now selling domains sell not only .ai, obviously that's a big part of it, and others, but like the other tech TLDs have done really well.
Yeah. If I putting myself in your guys' shoes or in the, you know, the wheel of government shoes and trying to make, you know, healthy predictions, conservative predictions about the future. I think probably the biggest headwind that you'll face is once venture capital firms stop let's say, giving any sort of bias or any sort of positive bias or affinity to a company just because its domain is .ai. And like, even if that's only getting it through the first filter, and I think that is the case today and certainly was even more so the case a year ago and probably even double the case 2 years ago, I think that is a diminishing filter or diminishing, let's say, advantage. From a fundraising standpoint, purely for those companies that said, well, let's get our .ai or let's operate on .ai purely because it gives us some sort of advantage from a fundraising standpoint, I think that is a diminishing return over time. Again, I'm not even going to venture guess what that time frame is, but there probably is a headwind at some point where, you know, kind of like putting crypto in your name was, you know, but, you know, less hypey because there's actual end user use, right? But kind of like if you said your company was a crypto company, it was like, oh, you know, here's a check, right? It was, yep. It was very easy to raise funding if you were a crypto company before the market was well understood. And I think to a lesser extent, but in a similar vein, there will be a similar headwind with .ai at some point, but in the future and certainly not tomorrow.
Yeah. I mean, that I don't disagree with that, but I think that's more probably at the margins in terms of how it might compress it, not transformational. We'll see.
Yeah. If anything, it probably only affects new registrations. I don't think it affects existing registrations at all. It probably maybe puts a little bit of friction on new registrations.
Yeah.
Some point in the future.
Yeah. So Matt, so for you guys, are you at the registry level, are you working on any stuff with the premiums for the .ai domains? I mean, does that come across your desk or is that something that you guys are, that's more pushed out to, you know, the registrars and investors themselves?
Well, there's expiry, there's the auction sort of side of it, which is pretty healthy right now. There's not premium names in the traditional sense of registry premiums. It's a pretty expensive TLD. There's not plans to do that. You guys and others, you know, everyone at over a million domains, like a lot of the best one word ones are taken and not, well, some get dropped obviously, but not a lot. Anyway, there's not like a registry premium. There are some names that the country has reserved, which we're hoping to be able to unlock some more of those to bring to market. It's not a ton, but there's value there.
Yeah.
And that's ongoing. So hopefully we'll be able to bring a few more names. Not a lot of focus on premium names in general. It's really a premium TLD if you think about it.
Sure. Yeah, no, I would think so. But it's interesting. I just wasn't sure how you guys kind of manage that and that it is somewhat different than your typical sort of new GTLDs, you know? And, but I know that if there's anybody that can get juice out of the fruit, it would be you, you know? So, yeah, man, well, that's cool.
Try and squeeze a little bit less juice, as we go forward. Yeah, especially into the next round. We'll see.
All right. Well, look, that's a great segue into this, to the kind of our final topic, because all of a sudden I'm like, we're, you know, not pushing up on time, but we're getting there. So the new GTLD round. So is you guys busy on the back end stuff? I mean, how much can you disclose?
Hey, tell us what's the list of domain, you know, extensions you're applying for, how many,
exactly.
How high are you willing to bid on each one?
I mean, I shouldn't say I'm surprised at this point because folks have been talking about different specific names and part of their strategy for a while now, which is so different than the 2012 round.
Yeah.
No one talked about a thing, you know, it was everything had this veil of secrecy. And there's been, I think for good reason, I mean, different companies have shared approaches, either more of some of the community ones or, you know, there's sort of first mover advantages, whether it's specific TLDs or scale of strategy, right? We've seen that with Yanni and Vaughn, the Nova approach. You know, that's not the approach we've taken. You're not going to get me sharing specific names, but I mean, we'll be a meaningful participant, not just as a registry, but we run the back end. That's not something that we had at Donuts and Rightside. So that's new this time around from my perspective. When we merged with Afilias, that was their RSP business joined. So we run AI, org, you know, .au are some of the bigger ones, but we have a bunch on our platform and it'll end up running hopefully a lot more that launch in the next round.
Okay. So you guys are active. Have yours already been filed? Or are you guys waiting to file yours? I mean, I saw the report came out where, I don't know, mentioned Alleman earlier, but he published about the, there's some service that's tracking applications. I don't know where that data is coming from specifically, but do you know what I'm referring to?
I have not seen that. I think there's a few different things. There's an early warning report that some folks are working on. I think there's maybe Kevin Murphy has a list that he's been tracking. Might have to do with actual applications. I'm not sure, actually.
Okay. Yeah, and I saw what I thought was interesting. It was maybe there were 400 so far or something like that, and that 100 of them were contested as of now. I just wasn't sure how available. You know, I didn't spend a whole lot of time researching or trying to figure it out, but
I've not seen that.
All right. So you guys are going to be an active participant, obviously, very much on the back end.
It really is a fun intellectual exercise. I've given this, you know, we can dig into it a little bit. I've been farting around with the idea of whether or not we want to apply for a string. I've got, you know, one in mind that I think would likely be uncontested. And I have a unique strategy that I think could be interesting. And so we're farting around with it. We're obviously very late in the game because we have basically taken exactly zero steps towards, you know, putting in an application. But I think, you know, I'm not going to make any commitments. We'll probably do something. But, you know, I've been thinking about what's the right strategy given the new dynamics in this round. You know, in the last round, it was like, you know, loser won. You know what I mean? Like, there was no losers. If you got into a contested string, you basically hoped to be in a contested string because you either won it or you ended up getting paid. And that is quite the opposite this round. So if your string is contested, you can pull the ripcord, but it's still going to cost you, you know, 80, 100 Gs. And so there's real risk to just, you know, the spray and pray approach, which rewarded you in the last round, meaning like basically the more strings you applied for, you know, your probability, as long as you weren't stupid about it, your probability of having a positive outcome, maybe even ending up with a bunch of strings that you got for free because you got paid off on the ones that you didn't win, was really good. In this round, it's, you know, if you spray and pray, there's a pretty good chance you're going to lose a lot of money because there's going to be a lot of really well-heeled, like Identity Digital, like Nova, like some other players that are going to be in the market. There's going to be some really well-heeled, smart and well-capitalized investors or operators rather, that are going into this round. And so I almost think that the, you know, pound your stick, you know, real hard on the table approach is actually the right approach. That's kind of where I've landed, is like actually being public, coming out and be like, look, here's the strings we're going for. You guys want to, you know, you want to come up against us? You better, you know, don't bring a knife to a gunfight. And I think that that's kind of the best approach. I can't make an argument against it. I guess if you've got strings that you think are going to be uncontested, then obviously you shouldn't be, you know, disclosing those. But if you're going for strings that you think are like, you know, it's an obviously good string. There's especially using all these AI tools now, it's really, you know, everybody's on a little bit more level playing field in terms of the data, in terms of, obviously you guys have got more proprietary data than anybody else actually, but maybe Radix as well. But
a lot of the tools,
easier to say like, okay, here is a good list of strings that I want to go apply for. But you have to understand that there's going to be people also applying for those. So what do you think?
Yeah. Yeah. The rules are different this time. So there's a whole different calculus in terms of how you go forward and how many you want to apply for. what your auction strategy might be, whether you want to
scaring people off seems like the best, you know, scaring people off their idea seems like the best strategy.
The backup strings, which weren't a thing in the previous one. So there's different phases where you can get your money back. You can pivot to other strings. There's just more. It's very different. I mean, there's a lot that's really different. I think they made some changes based on the overall feedback. People did not like seeing that certain companies made money losing auctions, even if that wasn't the intent going in. They didn't want that to be the intent going into this round. And I think it seems to have largely worked. I mean, I don't disagree with the idea that you could, you know, you can make yourself very serious by coming out and announcing which strings or a strategy. I mean, I've shared this with Vaughn and with Yanni specifically. I thought their announcement of not strings, right, but their announcement of we're going to apply for a lot was great. That, I mean, they went from, they're a single TLD operator doing a really nice job with it, but they now have sort of the credibility of we're a portfolio applicant. We're going big. Yeah. And that has, and they're doing innovative stuff too. And you can put all that together and that's been unquestionably good for their business. And so,
no question.
You know, there's a lot of companies have taken different approaches. We're not the only one that hasn't really shared much about what we're planning to do. And so I think it's going to be really interesting come reveal day, who's in, who's doing
it. There's going to be a lot of contesting.
And if you're serious about one, you know where to find me. We can run back for
it. Yeah, exactly. And there's probably a conversation to be had there. So, but yeah, that's going to be really, really interesting. And now as we're starting to see some of the initial stuff come out and that's the thing, like we've been, you know, tertiarily somewhat involved in just observing and we had Vaughn on the show and we've talked to them and, you know, just have a general idea of some of what they're up to and, you know, just the way that it's all working and having seen, you know, again, outside looking in, just as all the stuff has come together as far as the plans and the rules and the timing and the different stuff. You know, now that we have kind of at least one idea that we think we might want to run with, you know, and it's like as you're digging in to try to, you know, it's just interesting as, you know, and it's funny because in the space, like it was the first time around, you know, people are coming out of the woodwork that are all willing to help and provide different services and different things. And everybody's now a new GTLD expert and, oh, let us help you. And, you know, and I remember this from like the first time when NamesCon was relaunched with Jothan and, Richard, you know, it was right at the time the new G's were taking off. I mean, you kind of spoke about, you know, when Right Side was formed. I mean, this goes back to you know, I mean, you know, that era, you know, the 2012-2013. And, you know, the conferences were popping off because everybody was spending money. Everybody was jockeying for position and wanting to get eyeballs and shelf space and awareness and all that kind of stuff. And not even... And that's even setting aside all the gamesmanship around the auction stuff, because I mean, the Donuts folks were probably some of the most savvy and successful people when it came to, you know, leveraging the process, you know?
I actually helped Dan create the original premiums list for Donuts. And it had to do with my, you know, that was right around the time I was, you know, being very public about how we needed to create this valuation methodology, an objective valuation methodology for domains, that this was basically the foundation of the growth of the industry. And a lot of that was based upon SEO and the commercial value of a domain name. What is a domain? From a commercial perspective, like, what is a domain? What are you investing in as a business? What does this domain name do for you? And ultimately, what it comes down to on a first principle is cost of customer acquisition. And so when you look at domains through that lens, and then you extrapolate out and you look at it from like a, you know, what do the customer, if you're thinking about the customer being the person searching Google, okay? Ultimately, you know, you're trying to match a person with an intent to a destination that solves that demand. And that's literally what a domain is. It's that bridge. And so how many commercially viable bridges are there across these strings? And, you know, they represent a premium that are obvious, you know, with clear inherent value that can be measured objectively. And so I actually helped them create, I don't remember how many it was. I think it was like 10,000 premium names, roughly speaking, across the original set of strings. And it was a really fun exercise coming up with, you know.
The domain investors owe you a thank you for your help on that. Not just the show, not just your brokerage, but the donuts approach was a little different than Right Side. We had a lot more premium names. So donuts left a little bit more opportunity there.
Yeah.
And assuming that's true, there's more opportunity to invest in the early days and get some good names that investors still hold today.
Yeah.
I
think is the right approach. I mean, getting a name to market as soon as possible, I think is the right approach for a registry. You know, even if you're leaving money on the table, getting the name into the market, whether that's an end user or a domain investor.
Yep.
You know, that seems like.
I think the right if approach. I remember, you know, you had XYZ, Daniel, I'm pretty sure launched XYZ with no premiums.
No premiums.
And that was created later, right? Once he'd sort of built it up. I mean, there's a lot of different.
Yeah, the price of a brick went up.
Price of a brick went up. But anyway,
a lot of different ways to go to market.
Yeah. So I guess the point is that, you know, it's interesting. We're kind of in this new wave now and watching, you know, the next month will be interesting as with the, you know, because we approach the deadline. I think it's right in, you know, mid-August as far as to get your applications in.
August 12th, I think, is the deadline.
And then from there, it's, you know, this window of, you know, then the reveal and then, you know, you've got a certain amount of time to pick a backup string if you want and, you know, things like that. So there's just, you know, there's a whole lot of interesting stuff around this one. And, but, you know,
when do you expect the first string to actually launch? Like the first one to actually hit registrars and be available for sale?
Oh, man, I've looked at the calendar a lot of times and I still am not. I think it's probably mid next year. Mid 27.
Yeah, you think it's that early?
If we're lucky. Yeah, I think it's a combination of uncontested TLDs that get through objections that are really clean, don't have community applications, and get a good draw number to launch earlier on.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, because it seemed like from what I saw, you know, you kind of get to the end of the year once all the, you know, and then contention and all that kind of stuff. So the clean ones, you know, that... Because it gets revealed, what is reveal day in September or something like that, or October?
It's in October.
So it's October,
I think it'll be right before, and I think it moved a week, if I'm not mistaken. We have a team, like a more of an operations team that's tracking all the dates.
Yeah, like way in the weeds on
it. If it was left to me, we probably wouldn't get any applications in. So thankfully,
Well, that's why I was curious if you guys were like waiting to file yours or if yours, you know, like if there's any strategy with that stuff or anything that, and you can obviously can only share what you can share, but.
Well, so let's do a little public service. So, you know, here we are, the hopeless single TLD applicant hopeful. We're 28.
The public service is get on it right now. You're already.
Yeah. Like, are we is it full, like 28 days out? Is it full court press for us to get a single application in? Or is it like, yeah, you can get that done in a week?
Based on how you were speaking about it earlier and that you're not even necessarily sure which TLD, you got to pick that.
No, we know the TLD. If we do it, we know the TLD.
Yeah, that's
not the issue. The issue is, being indecisive about
it. You need a back end. You need a partnership there. You need to either figure out who internally or externally is going to help you write the application to make sure you don't get disqualified. You got a lot of work. It's doable, I think.
Luckily, I've got this guy that works for me. He's got a bunch of policy experience in the domain space. And, you know, he's been operating as an attorney in the domain space for quite a while.
Domain Sherpa is going on vacation until August 13th.
Well, this is actually the real question is like JT is the one, he's all gun ho. He's like, yo, well, let's go. He's like, I want that mailbox money. And, you know, I think I actually came up with a cool string. I kind of want to validate that idea or not validate it. You know, I'm willing to lose 80, 100 grand. And, you know, if it doesn't work, you know, or if it's contested, I'm probably not going to go in the auction for it. It's just, it's sort of
if it's contested, we're going all out for anybody that might be.
It's a shot in the dark. But the variable for me is like, does JT actually want to do real work?
That's messed up, man.
I mean, hey, those AKAs don't write themselves.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
I've done real work.
Exactly.
Before.
No AKAs for a few months, folks.
Yeah.
That'll be it. So,
in all seriousness, if you guys get your act together and want to do something, let me know. I'll introduce you. I'm involved in the other side. I'll connect you with the folks on our side. And obviously, I mean, there's a lot of companies, but I'm biased. I think we do as good a job as anyone running the back end.
Well, and we've obviously got a relate. I mean, we know you personally, but we work together with, you know, with our, when we dabbled in the, with a string before. So it's, you know, we've got history there, not just with you, but with the organization and your team and stuff. And that's always gone well. So, a lot of good folks
always
over there.
Always been a fan of the company. Great.
Yeah.
Great
so, well, business. It's
Media Options is the industry's leading domain broker specializing in domain acquisitions, high value domain sales, and domain name consultation. As pioneers and thought leaders on the subject of the domain aftermarket and domain name value, plus through their clear domain acquisition service, Media Options offers startups and established corporations an unparalleled scope of high value domain options, providing access to domain names and curation technologies not available elsewhere. Media Options believes in the power of a great domain name and is dedicated to helping you obtain yours. Call or email today to put a domain to work for you.
So this is a great segue into the final segment, and then we're going to go, which is, you know, so what else is new for you guys or kind of interesting, exciting, anything to sort of promote or mention or that you want to direct anybody's attention to that we haven't already talked about?
I think we've talked about a lot of it. I mean, we're really focused on the next round. I had alluded to focused on ways that we can continue to engage with domain investors more. We're building some products in that regard. I'll come back on, you know, maybe post next round when we start launching some stuff, but ways that we can enable the community to carry some more of our domains. So I'll just leave it at that for now, but we'll come back on and talk about some of the product ideas we have there. We're super focused on just domains as identity, which is shouldn't be a surprise to anyone with the name of our company. And we have a labs group that's been working on some agentic identity stuff. DNS ID is our product, which is essentially just a birth certificate for agents, right? Everything. It's a very different world right now in terms of sort of the future of the agentic internet. And we, along with others in our industry, believe that the DNS is best positioned right now for a lot of reasons to help be sort of that foundational layer for agent identity. So I think there's big opportunities there. And if that sticks how we believe it will, that's a massive tailwind for the entire industry. It's not an ID thing, but just domains in general as identity is a huge focus area, whether it's agentic, whether it's more community-based. I mean, we've talked about some of our partnerships in the past. One Football, a big football or soccer platform in Europe, is still very shortly going to be launching .football names into their community, sort of their fan club, where everyone's identity, their username and everything, all their permissions are sort of governed around an actual DNS-based domain name. And so that's been a long time coming. But that one, I was hoping it would actually launch before the World Cup to see if it would be of Halo. But I think we're weeks out. So we'll see where that goes.
There should be some good momentum coming off the World Cup. So hopefully that'll continue to kind of, you know, help dovetail into that a little bit.
Which, by the way, I enjoyed your guy. I guess we didn't. I mean, you guys spent half the show on the World Cup last time, so don't need to really go back there. But I mean, I agree. We've gone all in. It's been a magic in Seattle. It was really nice to see the city every game. It was beautiful weather. I went to the two U.S. games here, which were an absolute blast. Australia and then Belgium until about 5:01 local time when the game started, when it went real sideways. But the build up to that and the march and all of that. I mean, it's a great soccer town here, great sports town in general, but like the stadium is right downtown. There's probably 100,000 other fans around the stadium. A lot of real sad people after that game, but
yeah.
A lot of fun.
But it is amazing.
It was
sad
performance.
Do you remember a time, maybe you played soccer, you know?
Yeah.
But soccer isn't really a conversation in America. And now it's every conversation, right? And so it's, I feel like this was a big, 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 I can't think of words today. I don't know why, but,
you're turning.
It moved the needle. It moved the needle in a very big way, like an order of magnitude in terms of, you know, the impact of soccer in America, the interest in the sport, the, you know, affinity. I think this was a really good thing, more than an Olympics, more than any other, you know, major sporting event. I think this really will have lasting impact.
Yep.
See?
But, well, I think the World Cup always kind of gets everybody excited. I think the fact that it was here in the U.S. and just the experience that it had was just amazing. You know,
you know what? It's probably the first time ever we're actually going to get an A-B test, right? Because now we're going to get the Olympics. So it's like you're actually going to be able to A-B test what was the actual economic impact, what was the, you know, cultural impact, you know, the conversations, the amount of time spent, the amount of, you know, advertising, whatever the different ways to measure this stuff is. We're actually going to get an A-B test. We had the World Cup, and next up is the Olympics. And we're going to get to measure which one had more impact.
Yep. Well, you know, and it's funny, you mentioned about, you know, moving the needle. And speaking of needles, the Space Needle, they did that really cool, painted the top of it like a soccer ball. You know what I'm saying? Yep. Like, which was badass. And
I thought you were going to pivot to Skid Row or something.
No. And I was actually going to say, and really what, you know, folks like Identity Digital are trying to do is help people move the needle with respect to their digital identity. Which is why I'm really leading up to saying that's probably going to be the title of the show. I was thinking No Strings Attached, but I think Moving the Needle sounds pretty cool now that we kind of closed out.
No Strings Attached is a better pun.
It is a good pun. They're both good. You know, we'll see. I could save one for another show anyway. But yeah, no, I agreed. I think the World Cup stuff has been amazing. Who do you like in the, so we're recording the show on Tuesday. It's going to air on Thursday. So it's going to air after the games have happened, but they haven't happened yet as far as us being here right now. We've got, you know, Spain and France coming up shortly, and then we've got Argentina and England tomorrow, which is in Atlanta. And what do you think?
Matt? Where's the Spain France game happening?
Dallas Cowboys Stadium.
Okay,
so that was where I saw.
We were on site. Good game.
Both games are incredible.
It's funny because that was kind of my bet for like what would be the championship game.
Well, you know, these are the four highest ranked teams. This is like the first time ever that the top four ranked teams, it's like the equivalent of the NCAA tournament of all number one seeds making it to the Final Four, which also, you know, so chalk, as they say, right? So it's all chalk right now. But what do you
think? France has looked the best, I think,
consistently.
Today. I think I'm going for Spain. I was just down in LA last week and they happened to be staying at the hotel right by our office, the ID office down there. Not that that's a good reason to pull for one, but it was like, hey, I'm part of
reasons
you know.
Any. I mean,
I gotta be, you know, Spain and I'm in the Iberian Peninsula. So, you know, they're sort of the brothers from another mother.
I wasn't sure if that you'd lean into that or if, cause they beat Portugal.
I mean, I don't really want to be honest, you know what I mean? But you know, if it's Spain or France, you know what I mean? Like if it was like Spain or Germany, I'm taking Germany. I mean, if it was Spain or, you know, I don't know. Argentina, I'd take Argentina. But if it's France, I'm taking Spain.
Yep.
But that's France Spain. Literally has been the
Spain
most
on that side, and I won for England on the other side. I picked them in a little pick them thing.
I think we have to go Argentina. I mean, we've got Sophia who is
going Argentina.
She would be pretty.
I want to see Spain Argentina. That's the game I want to see.
That'd be good. I mean, yeah, I think France.
Whatever
I think,
we end up with, it's going to be a good final.
Yeah, it'll be a great final.
Well, that's what
I, you know, I thought it was in the cards. I thought, like, you know, Elon says the most interesting or the most entertaining outcome is always going to be what the universe, you know, decides.
The most likely.
And I thought that, you know, whether it's the universe, you know, following Elon's mimetic theory or it's just rigged, I thought you'd see Argentina, Portugal, just because it'd be the game of the goats. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, well, it looks like it is. That was the last World Cup for Ronaldo. yet to be seen what happens with Messi. I suspect if he loses, it might be his last World Cup by choice. And it would have been a really cool game to see Portugal, Argentina, game of the goats. Basically, you know, it's winner takes all. Whoever wins that game gets to literally leave their their legacy will be the goat, right? It's you are the goat. You win that game, you're the goat.
So much talent. They just didn't click.
No, Portugal just the last game was good, just not good enough. But it was a good game against Spain. It was a fair win, and Portugal just didn't, they weren't clicking the way that they could have and the way they have in the past.
Yep. Yeah. We'll see.
So we shall see. So, all right, man. Yeah. Well, look, I think it's all good. Anything else you got then before we close it out?
No, always fun to come on. It's been a little while, I think, since my last one. I don't know when it was, a couple of years back maybe. So thanks for having me.
You're kind of on the every 2 to 3 year plan for sure. But
I'm going to say two things. One is that, you know, you are always welcome. You are a true friend of the pod. In addition to that, Identity Digital should come on as a sponsor because, look, this is going to be, as you said, maybe before we started filming, you know, this is really one of the few really true, you know, large platforms for the industry that, you know, a very wide breadth of domain investors listen to. And I suspect that as the strings start coming to market, there's going to be a high demand for that, you know, those eyeballs. And so somebody's going to get it. And, you know, I'd love to see it be you guys. Somebody's, you know, and then you could come on, you know, once a month, once every quarter, whatever you want.
Once a month's a lot. Let's slow down. You know, I don't even know.
But there's only two people that everyone wants to listen to at least once a month. And it's not me. I'll come on more than every couple of years. But no, I mean, I agree with you. And we have, you know, again, for all the reasons I already talked about, doing some more sort of in and around the industry makes sense. I'll share this episode with the appropriate folks and we'll get back.
I don't know. Tell them to tune in. It's all good. Hey, no matter
nothing
what,
but love.
Yep. No matter what.
Either way, we are big fans of Identity Digital. We've had an amazing relationship with you guys. We have benefited financially from utilizing and consuming your products. That's it, you know, it's always, we really are grateful that you guys will release more data because I think, you know, our mission at Domain Sherpa is grow the pie. That is our mantra, grow the pie. And I think you guys are on the same mission. And I think, you know, the more data you can share, the more open you are with the community about, you know, sell-through rates on some of these names and the more, you know, some of the stuff that you guys are starting to really dig into, I think that's just good for you guys. It's good for the industry and it's good for the mission of growing the pie.
Yeah. And Matt, what were you saying? What was the comment you made?
I was just saying consuming our products does not sound like a domain company.
Gotta get high in your own supply, man.
Well, except we've been able to, you know, we've been able to flip some of these names and as well as some other things that we've done that have obviously done, you know, been very, very good for us. And, but yeah, that sounds more like a,
we actually are getting high on our own supply. One of the domains that we've got from you guys is my.domains. And we utilize, that's our internal, our whole internal, like, I call it our dashboard, which, by the way, was built using some of these new AI tools. But we've got a whole
big shout out to Sophie and Bill.
All of the tools that we use internally are all there. And it all lives in my.domains. And it's,
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like a really cool use case. You know what I mean? And it really does. It's like our home base. And
it is. That's our perfect, whole home base. Perfect name for it.
Yeah. So
the next time we do a deal, we'll throw an Amble in, get the Identity Digital branded Amble.
Yeah.
Even in our LA office. Yeah.
You know, you guys will definitely have, you know, it'd be pretty cool to be pushing one of those. I got to get on the list. I got to put the deposit down. Anyway, all right. Well, listen, Matt, thank you so much, man. Appreciate it as always. It's good to see you. Always good to catch up. And always cool to have you on the show. Drew, thank you so much for taking the time as always. And to the audience, thank you guys so much for tuning in. We appreciate y'all. We say it on every show, without you, there is no us. We will post the, if you haven't seen it, you can find it on the Identity Digital website, but we'll have links to the Domain Investor Report, maybe some other stuff in the show notes. So definitely check it out. And that's it. And really, thank you guys. Thank everybody. And we'll see everybody next time here on Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. Peace out, everybody. We'll see you soon.